We are gathered here today to mourn the premature deleting of episode 96 of Dynamite in the Brain. Never posted online, the podcast episode leaves behind an as yet unreleased episode 97 and a handful of podcast run sheets. Please rise and listen to the following dramatic reconstruction of episode 96's last hours.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.
Thanks for listening. Brian Smith and Anthony Askew here on episode 96 of Dynamite in the Brain, the podcast that loves anime and hates fun. It is June the 15th, 2013, and joining us today is Greg Driver.
Hello.
Greg.
Hello, and welcome to take two of episode 96.
Yes. We've got to try and do it word for word.
Well, it's going to be hard, because, I mean, that was a pretty great podcast we recorded before.
It was.
It was.
I mean, I think it really elevated the podcast as an art form.
It probably did.
There was all those amazing surprise guests who dropped by.
And it was up for all those awards.
There's music performances. We were outside. We recorded it outside in front of a live audience.
Yeah.
we were all super high as well. We were really, really high. We had real motorcycles. We reenacted the chase scene at the start of Akira. We were all cosplaying. You were Kaneda Tetsuo, and I was dressed as the Colonel.
We all got tattoos.
We all got tattoos, and then we had them removed by the end of the episode. Truly was amazing times. We'll try and recapture some of that magic here tonight as we re-record this episode.
Quite the Sunday. It's quite an act to follow.
That I accidentally deleted. Okay. Righty-ho. UK anime releases for the week that this was. Right, first up, now this is what we had written when we recorded it. I'm not entirely sure all of these came out. Bakemonogatari part one on DVD, that's the one I'm particularly not sure, because Amazon seemed to have it as unavailable and it doesn't show up on their searches. Part two shows up on the search, you can pre-order that, but part one doesn't. Anyway, I don't care because I wasn't going to buy it anyway.
No, I haven't suddenly changed my mind since last time. So
no, I still don't know a thing about it.
It's talky ghost monster story thing.
Yeah.
Bakuman season one on DVD. I don't think any of us were interested in that.
No, I think I was tepid.
You were tepid.
I was because I've heard good things. So
I do occasionally like my slice of lifey stuff, so it sort of appealed to me on that kind of level, and I might check it out one day.
Then there was Ungo complete box set. You get a Blu-ray and the DVD all up in one set.
And this was the detective-y one that looks pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's the one I was a fan of, actually.
Yeah.
So, provided it contains episode zero.
It does. It contains,
which is all good. Well, check it out.
Contains the whole lot. I see that. Just double check. I think when we looked on pre-order, it was quite cheap, wasn't it?
I can't. It actually feels like months ago since we did this episode.
It was almost two weeks ago.
God, time flies.
£24 thereabouts.
That's decent.
That's not too bad. And finally, Last Exile complete season one. Oh, this was the real bargain, wasn't it? Because it was a full 24 or whatever many episodes it was.
Oh, yeah.
Like a 7-disc thing.
Yeah, how much did it turn out to be?
Well, I think pre-order it was cheaper than it is now. It's now £28.14.
Oh.
That's not bad, though.
No, it's still decent.
For
but
a full half-year TV series.
If you were smart and pre-ordered it at the early price, it would have stayed that way.
Nobody knew about it because the episode didn't come out, so nobody knew what was going to be...
I think anyone that wanted Last Exile already knew about Last Exile.
What were you... It sounded like you were going to call it Lexi Bell, then. Last Exile. Right, but yeah, I want to get this. I want to get this because it's... I've got volume one. I got it... Did I get it at a convention one year for a pound? Something bizarre like that, that it contains the first couple of episodes, so... And there is that sequel series that... Was that last...
Was that Fam the Silver Wing or something?
No, I'm sure it was a direct sequel. Oh, I might have had that as a subtitle, actually, now that you say that. I do forget, but I know... And whenever I see a sequel series, I think, oh, I probably should see the first series because, you know...
I don't know if it's... Is it direct sequel or is it just another story set in the same world?
Let's have a look. I'm guessing it is. Fam the Silver Wing, you were right on that. Isn't that the same characters? Isn't that?
I don't know. I mean, I gave up on the first series about 10 episodes in.
Well, that was a good investment as well, 10. That's...
Yeah, there's like, there's a character who I didn't care for, so I stopped watching it.
Well, I can't tell if the second series is a direct sequel or not, so just take a gamble.
That's
what I'm going to do when I buy it.
Righty ho, on to segment two. Greg, what you watch?
What I watch? It is exactly the same as last time, because I'm still following both of them, and one of them's about to come to its conclusion this Thursday, and that's Devil Survivor 2, the anime. And it was only 12 episodes long, or so I've been led to believe, and this Thursday will be the last episode in a massive crescendo of demon blood and things blowing up and the world about to end, but not about to end, because it will be miraculously saved as these things go. And it's really cool. It's just something that you can just sit and watch and not think too hard about, and it plays to my loves at the moment because I'm into the Shin Megami Tensei games quite heavily. So, was mentioned on the last time we recorded this, I've been cheating on Pokemon with Shin Megami Tensei an awful lot, and I feel filthy for it, but it's great. Currently playing Persona 3 at the moment. That's part of my watchy-watch, actually.
Persona 3?
Yes. I've finished Persona 4 and back to Persona 3, which I believe, well, it's set in 2009, but I don't actually know what year its release was. It's on the PS2.
Oh, wow.
It revolves around a similar sort of thing to Persona 4, where Persona 4 has a secret world inside the televisions that mirror your true feelings and broadcasts them back to you, and using shadows, which are these like creatures that feed off human emotion and obviously are quite malevolent and nasty at times. It's a similar thing, except this time the shadows inhabit an hour that resides between 2 days called the hidden hour. That's it, yeah. And it's between it's like around midnight this hour occurs, and only certain people experience it. Everyone else that doesn't experience it turns into a coffin in their beds.
Oh.
Which is why you've never experienced it, because you just turn into a coffin and remember nothing. The whole thing revolves around exploring this giant tower of shadow power that appears every time the clock strikes 12 and the hidden hour is revealed, and the tower's called Tartarus, and I've only got to like the third floor, but it's pretty cool. You have the power of the persona. You still visit the Velvet Room, which is the place where there's a guy there called Igor who helps you by fusing the personas for you and making them more powerful and teaching you how to use them, and he has absolutely nothing to do with your world and nothing to do with the shadow world either. And he's a running theme throughout all the Persona games. And I'm hoping that one day they're going to turn him into a boss. And one day it's going to come out that he's been pulling all the strings, because that's the kind of character he is. The kind of character they're setting him up to be, as far as I'm aware, after playing Persona 4 as well. He basically just sits there and just watches everything happen and takes great glee in doing so. So, yeah.
It's not a beat-em-up, is it?
No, it's not a beat-em-up, no. It's an RPG.
Yeah, it was 2006 it first came out in Japan.
Yeah. I think it's set in 2009. I think that's what year it is in the game.
Hmm. Will you be working your way back to the first game entirely?
I've got Persona 2 ready and waiting to play on the PSP. Which, I mean, they don't follow it. They don't follow on in any chronological order at all. They're not actually direct sequels. It's like playing Final Fantasy games, really. So you can play them whatever order you like. So I'll make my way back to Persona 1 slowly but surely. I think after this, they turn back into a more traditional RPG style, become RTSs, I think, and you just do dungeon crawl after dungeon crawl. They're less involved after this one, if I go further back.
And how about you, Anthony? What have you been watching?
If I recall, it was Game of Thrones.
Oh, yes.
And I don't remember which episode it was at this point, but something really big happened. And then I remember I started ranting about people. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to try and recreate it as best I can, because I'm a little bit calmed down now that it's been 2 weeks since Game of Thrones was on. People have kind of stopped ranting on about it, posting pictures. They're sick of it until next year. Anyway, all these book fans will crawl back into their holes, and then next year they'll come out giving it the old, you should have read the books. You should have read the books. It's been out for 13 years. And then I don't care. I want to watch the show right now. Not then. I don't want to read about it. I just want to watch it. So let me enjoy it, please. So yeah, Game of Thrones was great. I might as well say now, season 3, amazing.
So was this season just half a book?
It was, yes.
Okay.
Why? Why, Whisper? Why? Do you not like the sounds of that? Oh.
I would say that was supposed to be a very long book or a very slow TV series.
Well, it is only 10 episodes.
Or both, actually.
And, well, I think it is a strange mix of both, because they leave out quite a lot from the books, whereas they may go into more detail on some things that is perhaps book like fans of the book would think, yeah, why bother doing it that way? Either way, it's a great show. It works really well as a TV show, contrary to used to not liking it very much. On the same note as Game of Thrones, I started playing Skyrim, and I made Arya Stark, who's one of the characters from Game of Thrones. So I've actually played a female character in a game. How crazy is that? Awesome. I can't even relate to her.
the completely blank avatar for your own personality that is a Skyrim character.
But I'm almost kind of playing it in character as Arya Stark, or at least trying to.
Yeah,
but it's interesting.
You can sort of do that in Skyrim. But I think that it kind of... You're not set on a
one track.
Yeah, you haven't got a personality, because you just decide that by what you do and what skills you take. Really,
you just do whatever you feel like. And for me, that was punching people and stealing all their money, and eventually joining the guild that lets me do that for a living. So.
Well, I wanted to be that kind of character, but I wanted to do that from the beginning. So when I seen this poor prisoner getting taken with soldiers, I was like, I'm going to save him. I'm going to pretend he's from my village. And I was, like, going totally overboard with this stuff. But I tried to take the guards down. I didn't. I died. So I reloaded the save and I let him pass.
No, chaotic neutral all the way.
You're neutral?
Yeah, chaotic neutral the way I play it.
Oh, chaotic neutral, right.
If we're going on sort of alignment or whatever.
See, I'm still undecided. But at the end of the day, I played first person anyway, so I could... make it look like Mr. Blobby, and I wouldn't really care. Bit of an exaggeration, but you know. And it's a fun game, and yeah, roll on season 4 of... I was going to say of Skyrim. Roll on season 4 of Game of Thrones, that's all I'll say.
Oh, you'll have to get Dragon's Dogma as well, because they call everybody Sir in that S-E-R, like they do in Game of Thrones.
Well, see, I was in... my friend's actually selling that at the moment, because he's selling those Xbox games, and I don't know how much he wants for it, but
it's the Dark Arisen. I saw it for £9 in Sainsbury's. So,
do I have to play? What's the Dark Arisen?
Dark Arisen is the one which is the game and also the add-on pack. You get everything, and you get all the other. You will get the pre-Dark Arisen DLCs are in it as well.
Oh right, stuff buying it off him, because I guarantee one a tenner or something. I'm pretty sure it's just the first one. So, well, whatever the ungood one is.
But yeah, I saw somebody's pawn in that was they'd gone to a great deal of effort in recreating some Game of Thrones characters. Is it Jon Snow? Is that one of the characters?
That's one of them, yeah.
Yeah, they've gone to some... I assume there must be like these creator wrestler type threads, but for the pawns to try and... because you got loads of customization on your face and shape and size of your body, and they've gone to far too much effort in creating a face they wanted.
Yeah, I'll check it out. I should probably buy it and then just let it sit on my shelf until I finish Skyrim and whatever else I'm playing. So, yeah, that's what I've been watching. What you watch?
Well, I believe I was watching The Hero Yoshihiko and The Key of Evil Spirits, which is the live-action, low-budget Dragon Quest show that I had been accidentally downloading because I'd set up a RSS feed on MooTorrent, and it was accidentally picking this up as well as the things I was trying to download. And I figured, well, I've downloaded a bunch of episodes of it. I shall start on the first one I've got, which was, I think, episode 6, which was a Dragon Ball parody. Awesome. And it was very funny. So I'm going to keep on following that and then go back and watch the first 5 episodes as well. And maybe the first series as well. There was an earlier series.
Question.
Yes.
How does that RSS feed thing work with torrents? Does it automatically download?
Obviously, I don't... Basically, you can put an RSS feed into MooTorrent, and then you can put filters on to, say, download things which resemble this filter.
Oh, God, that could be dangerous. I could end up with all sorts of crap.
Or nothing, because what you're trying to download was slightly different from what you put in the filter.
Well, exactly, yeah.
Keep an open mind, ask you, and just set the filter and let it sail away.
Let it ride the waves.
Yeah, or just watch whatever comes your way.
Yeah. Or just put that plug in, which I mentioned on the Kino's Journey thing, and watch US Netflix instead.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Is that, yeah.
Right, on to segment 3, the weekly retro recap, which is... Now, it's going to be really difficult because I've deleted my notes for this, so this is going to be really straining my brain to remember what happened.
Is this episode 2?
Episode 2 of ROD the TV, called Rise Up, O Dregs of Humanity.
I remember what you guys said. They end up sharing a house and it gets a bit nuts.
Yeah, they end up sharing a house.
A bit nuts is an oversight. Well, actually, it does get a bit nuts.
The sisters break Nene's television.
Yeah, which is the highlight of the episode.
Which is pretty much, that is the plot of the episode. And then they go to...
Is it with a paper aeroplane or something?
It is, yes, because they were trying to change the channel and they were too lazy to get up. So they threw a paper aeroplane, which had been turned into metal, the same way they used their superpowers.
It is very funny, that little segment, I'll be honest.
It's a pretty good episode, and I remember that we liked it so much we were going to watch the next episode.
Yeah, we did.
And there's a few little hints there about Yomiko Reedman and...
Joker.
Crop up. But yeah, in general, it's a good, funny episode. Same sort of standards of animation as the first, but sort of in a comedy direction this time, rather than a dramatic action direction.
Unfortunately.
Yes. So, that brings us to our main event, which is Akira, which we all watched 2 weeks ago. Can we remember what it is about?
Yes-ish.
I think we struggled to do a synopsis then. Never mind.
Didn't we challenge you 100 words or less?
Yeah, you were like, don't make me do the synopsis. Don't make me do the synopsis. So,
what
Anthony,
did I do again?
Tell the people at home. Tell the good people at home what Akira is all about.
Blindingly succinct synopsis you did.
Right. There we are. Fade to white. We're in Neo Tokyo. Basically, it follows the story of this hoodlum biker gang. I'm going to call them hoodlums because they're not good lads. And they...
Punks,
that's the one I'm looking for. Thugs, punks, idiots, morons. But yeah, these guys, and obviously they've got this rivalry with other biker gangs around the city, and one in particular, the clowns, and which cues the opening scene, which is them fighting around all this kind of jazz around the city. And then somehow one of the characters gets a power and he goes a little bit crazy. And then it all fades to white. And
I like how the 2/3 of the film were basically skipped between 2 sentences.
There's a revolution going on. There's a lot going on. But it is pretty much that.
Yes,
a man goes mad. About a boy, I should say. And he causes a bit of bother. And then it fades to white.
A bit of bother.
Well, you could call it that.
And it's the 1988 animated film directed by Katsuhiro Tomo, written by him with Izu Hashimoto, and based on his manga, which was ongoing at the time. Still unfinished at the time this came out. And definitely was nowhere near finished at the time they started making it.
I didn't realise that. I don't think we mentioned that last time.
We
that's
did,
interesting.
Yes.
We didn't. I don't remember that. I remember discussing the manga, but I don't. So when did you all first watch it? We need to discuss that. We always do.
Yes, we always either that or I ask people that.
Yeah.
If this was the first time they were going to see it, but we have all seen this before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I mentioned I had the opportunity, which was missed, to see it as a raw pirated copy ordered out of the back of the PC Engine Fanatics fanzine. Somebody at school, well, I would have been about 15, I guess, 14, 15 maybe, 1990, 91, had ordered Akira, some episodes of Crying Freeman, and the live-action Gunhead film. And of the three, the one he chose to bring to school for us to watch was Crying Freeman, which is possibly the least suitable to be watched at school by a bunch of 15-year-olds. So it wasn't until the, I think it would have been the manga release of it on VHS, which my brother bought, and that was the one I saw. The dubbed, and then the subtitled one, which aired on BBC Two, which for a while was like, that was the version to see. That BBC subtitled version. It was a weird case in the 90s where some things had better subtitles on TV than they had on their actual video releases. Because they did release a subtitle version, but it was generally accepted that the BBC one was a better set of subtitles than the video release. I don't know whether the videos were dub titles or something.
So what night was it actually on BBC? Was it like a Friday night?
It was like, I think it would have been a weekend night. It was like as part of a theme night. There was a documentary with Jonathan Ross on it.
Yeah.
Don't you like Jonathan Ross?
He's all right. He's the king he's all right.
of nerds.
Well, he is. That's why I shrugged.
He was like, you had to be Jonathan Ross.
Who would do it now? Maybe what's he called,
Charlie Brooker and Jonathan Ross together.
Oh, my one of my least favorite people. You'll have to guess who. It's Charlie Brooker. I don't like him.
Really?
I've never found him very funny. The fact that everyone else does NC makes us think, nah.
I mean, I find him funny, but I don't find him as funny as some people seem to find him funny.
I find him funny, but that's because there's a lot of things he says that I tend to agree with. As far as like some of the things he says about television are concerned and stuff like that. And I am a bit of a Charlie Brooker fan.
Yeah, but you've got to admit, there are people who...
Oh, yeah, I know.
..go
yeah.
out of their way. They've got to show off how much they like
him. Yeah, yeah.
What do you mean?
I mean, it's not just for Charlie Brooker. It's sometimes if you go to a comedy show or something, you occasionally run into people who've got to show off how much they like something. So if it's a comedy show, they might laugh exceptionally loud or exceptionally obnoxiously. Yeah, everybody can hear just how much I'm appreciating this wonderful comedian. I believe Daniel Kitson shows suffer from that a lot, from what I've read online.
Well, that's what our panel's going to be like at Iacon. People are just going to be shown how much they love it. Oh, damn, that's great.
And also, there's lots of people who imitate him as well. They think, oh, I like Charlie Brooker, therefore I shall write like Charlie Brooker. And I shall be as good as Charlie Brooker somehow.
Is this people on Twitter or is this actual...
Oh, I think actual people as well.
Oh, really?
But yeah. I think he's commented on it himself.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong, I found his Black Mirror series good.
Yeah,
I can. Don't get us wrong, I appreciate when someone's doing something well, but the fact that everyone loved him before I even knew who he was like I was already late at the party and all that jazz. So
my favourite Charlie Brooker is when Lee Mack's winding him up on something, either on Would I Lie to You or that be Radio 4 thing that Charlie Brooker does. I can't remember. Righty ho, back to Akira. So, when did you guys see it?
Go ahead, Greg.
I watched it when it was released on DVD over here. That was the first time I watched it. I might have caught clips of it before I actually knew what it was on the Sci-Fi Channel and things like that. But the first time I actually watched it, knowing that it was Akira, I went into it knowing that I was going to come out of it confused. was when it first came out on DVD over here.
You went in knowing that you would come out not knowing.
I'd heard tale from people that if I watched it, it would do a number on my brain, and I got told the same thing. Similar tales to what you hear about Evangelion, really.
Mm. Yeah, well, for me, I forget the age. I couldn't remember how old I said I was last time. I was young. I was year 7 at school, year 8 at school, thereabouts. I picked it up on VHS, and it was the manga release. And my story from last time, I used to pretty much watch half of it every Saturday afternoon at my friend's house, and he would beg to lend it or borrow it, and I would say, yeah, yeah. And he had a younger sister who I was worried she would damage it, so I used to always take it away on the sly.
No, you were just such an evil guy.
I was very...
You'd only let him watch half the film and then walk away.
Well, I kept his brain intact. But seriously, I'm bad like that now. I'm very protective over like possessions. I'm very OCD about certain things, and that was definitely one of them, even at such a young age. And I used to watch it every week, nearly.
I must admit, I do get weird about things like certain books and stuff like that that I want to keep pristine and whatever. I won't lend them anybody and things.
I nearly cried a few weeks ago. I've got my stack of Xbox games in my old house, and I spilled a drink, and it went flying down all these stack. So no. Now all my stack of Xbox games, which were in pristine condition, are all wrinkly.
Oh,
the
man.
Inserts are wrinkly.
I did that to my Sonic 2. My Mega Drive Sonic 2. I ruined the instruction manual.
You're right not to lend these things out to kids, Anthony, because I... lent my copy of Watchmen out when I was a teenager, and it came back looking like it had been in a fight. To the point where it had blood on it.
No. But yeah, see? Just keep it. It's yours. And yours only. I would never lend Watchmen out. Not a young age. Because you know someone's going to dog-ear it.
Well, I was like, you got to read this. Yeah, it was so...
I wish you never read that.
See, if I really want someone to read something, I've got into the habit now, because I don't like lending my graphic novels out, of I'll wait till it's their birthday and then just buy it for them.
Yeah, I do that as well now.
Yeah.
I just buy people things I've liked.
Yeah.
I've never got anything off you two.
That was the one good thing about the Watchmen movie, is it meant I was able to pick up a new copy of the graphic novel really cheap.
But it wasn't the same. Or was it the same cover as what you had?
That was what annoyed me. It was a different cover.
Oh, the one I got the same cover. It was the classic...
Badge.
No, the one I got was the group shot.
Yeah.
You were mugged there, Greg.
I know, I was mugged. I wanted the comedian badge with the blood speck on it, but no.
Oh, we should get in a Watchmen sometime. Should mention it.
Well, it may come up again later in this podcast, because I did have a thought about something which did...
Maybe it's a good thing that we need... Maybe it's destiny. Maybe Brian thought, you know what? I've got a cracking idea. Let's delete this file.
Subconsciously.
Yeah, sound great.
It's because the knowledge was already written into his genetics. And subconsciously, he just had to delete the file. And
the power of deleting podcasts exists in everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what do you think the defining moments of the film are?
The opening scene.
The opening scene with the motorbikes and the lights trailing off the back of the bikes and...
The music.
Yeah.
That
beautiful, beautiful red leather jacket.
Oh. It's like a harpy's skin.
Have you investigated further in the 2 weeks since we originally...
Oh, thought? Yeah, I haven't investigated further, but we've got to get out of that. Greg and I thought it'd be amusing if we both got the Canada jacket.
Yeah.
And we both then looked at how expensive they were, and it wouldn't be that amusing, really.
No, you found some cheap ones, but they seem to be cheap and cheerless.
They had the worst reviews I've seen. Well, I've heard... Oh, like it smelled bad.
Yeah, it was from some eBay seller who had loads and loads of jackets from the movies.
But forget the price for a second, ask you of a good one. You know, forget all that. Think about how good it smells, real leather with that that, you know, the red real leather with the pill symbol on the back, and then on top of that, think about how good it'll look over your Three Wolf Moon t-shirt. With your fedora.
I'll tell you what, I'm already in. Count me in. that jacket's it. I mean, there's a lot of iconic things that aren't even, scenes and segments and dialogue in this, namely the jacket, namely the bike. That's how good this film is. It has props, and props are good.
Well, those cheapy ones aren't there anymore. There's only the official ones on eBay at the moment.
Ooh.
There is also, you can get a hoodie, though, with the design on.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
Does it look like leather in the sense of, does it have like detailed lines drawn on? Or just red with a pill on
the picture's back? Just of the logo.
You know what? I might just go to a charity shop and buy a cheap red leather jacket and then staple one to the back.
Stencil it. Just
yeah. Stencil it with acrylic paint or something.
Yeah.
Oh, that Michael Jackson jacket. The Thriller jacket.
It was loads. Oh, we did ask you whether you'd prefer to have the Canada jacket or the Drive jacket, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't have a story, but now I'm undecided.
Like, which one would make you look a bigger wanker?
I think I would choose the Drive jacket, but I don't know. It's tough. Come at me again in a couple of weeks with that question. I may have decided.
You have the Drive jacket, you've got to carry a wrench, and then got to wear the gloves at all times.
Oh, well, that's a given. That's a given.
I still need to watch the second half of that film.
Oh, don't watch it from the second half. Just start from the beginning and check it out. It's on Netflix, UK and US.
Yeah, no, that's where I was watching it. But then it was time to either go out or something. I can't remember. Something interrupted me. It wasn't like I deliberately stopped.
That's good. That's a great film. Just
he's a real hero.
Who is Ryan Gosling?
Yeah, in that film.
He is. He's very pretty.
Yeah.
I was gay.
The soundtrack's fantastic as well.
Oh, it's a great film.
Any more defining moments apart from the bike? I mean, the bike thing seems to be the main thing people take away from it.
Everybody loves that moment.
And homage and parody and...
For me, it's... I like the... Psychic turbulence is the only way I can describe it at the end, where everything's going a bit mental and there's a giant flesh baby climbing across a half-built stadium and, you know, flashes of light and whatever. I like all that stuff.
Yeah, that tends to... I think that's the second most parodied and homaged scene and borrowed. Because, I mean, even South Park.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's the Trapper Keeper episode where Cartman basically does that.
Hmm.
If I remember correctly.
I have to YouTube that. I was always very fond of the dream sequence scene with Tetsuo in the hospital after he's been tested on, and you see like the big teddy bear, and you see the little ones crawling across his bed and all that stuff. That's really, really well done.
I don't think that's really a dream. I think that's the other kids playing with him.
Well, yeah, I just always call it the dream. Yeah, you're right there. It's not
those
a dream. But
creepy little blue kids that haunt my dreams. I don't like them. I especially don't like the little girl. She's the worst. She looks like an aging country. She looks like an aging country act.
I don't like the fat one who flies around in the MODOK thing.
Oh, him?
What's he called?
You know what he looks like? Do you remember, you know, the advert for the toilet paper, Velvet? You know, the kid?
The one who owns the business?
Yeah,
he
owns
a factory?
Yeah, the little three, that's him. He's in the live action, I want the kid off the Velvet advert playing that little fat
You may be too old now. I found a picture of him, but you're right.
I am now completely, you finally found something to completely lose me on. I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, Brian, no.
Watch the Velvet advert, the one with the little kid. He's like a CEO and he's like a three-year-old child, but he's got like this horrible comb over, and he's like three, but he looks about 40 at the same time, and he looks exactly like that fat kid from Akira in his little floaty chair.
Oh god, that is good. Yeah, so people would have to YouTube that. I don't know if US listeners, just YouTube it.
It's a British advert for toilet paper.
Masaru, isn't he? He's the fat one.
Yeah.
He's a creepy guy.
Well, I'm losing my voice badly here. Sorry, hay fever. Yeah, they're not really children, though, are they? Because as the plot reveals later, they were around. So they're in Neo Tokyo, which replaced the previous Tokyo, which got blown up apparently by this character, Akira, in 1988. And now, 31 years later, they've rebuilt it. But various politicians are concerned that nothing's going particularly well. Well, Nezu is the one who claims that, who's sort of funding these revolutionaries because he's claiming that it's become too decadent. Yes, but actually, yes. That's just a ploy to steal money from the government. And all the government can't agree with each other and sort of inactive.
There's that brilliant bit at the end where it's all circling the drain and he's trying to get out of his office with a briefcase full of bonds and banknotes. And he ends up having a heart attack. He can't fit enough pills in his mouth.
Yes, and of course being named... Is it Nezu Mouse or is it Rat? I can't remember.
I think it is Rat.
Rat, I think, yeah.
But he's very obviously designed after his namesake.
Yeah, with his big teeth and his...
But he's kind of he's the weirdest looking guy who isn't one of the psychics.
Mm. Yeah, he does.
Unfortunately, he was just born that way. He doesn't have the powers to balance it out.
So these kids, they're actually, must be, we get a flashback of when they were younger with Akira, so they must have been sort of 8 or 10 or something.
Then.
So yeah. They must be like in their early 40s now. So they both look young and they both look younger than that and older than that at the same time.
It's like they've stayed at 8 years old, but they've aged.
Yeah. And there's this colonel who's wandering around and he kind of uses the threat of Tetsuo, who's the biker who gets the psychic powers to carry out a coup in Neo Tokyo, which is pretty hard. I mean, that's the thing I completely forgot, where he basically orders the guy who's come to arrest him, orders his men to
kill him.
Kill the messenger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That bit's good.
That colonel's got a fantastic haircut.
He has, yes.
He's got everything going for him.
Now, I mentioned on the previous one that sometimes his face doesn't alter sizes depending on who was drawing those particular shots. Apparently, I'm looking on the IMDb page, on the goofs, is that the number of stars on his uniform changes between 2 and 3 at various points.
There's some scenes as well where Kaneda's love interest, her face seems to shrink and she starts to look slightly more boyish at points.
Yeah, she's... Especially when she has Kaneda's jacket on.
Yeah, it's a bit towards the end. She's got the red jacket on.
But some of that is the time she's being used as a medium for the other psychics.
Yeah.
Because they tend to shade her eyes differently when they're possessing her.
It's almost like she's wearing eyeshadow when they're possessing her.
Well, I think that's a good effect.
Mm. It's a neat way of
showing it. Mm. Without showing a translucent version of the psychic behind her or something. Or having some sort of crazy aura.
As is the way, usually.
I should have given her a funny voice.
Yeah, I should have given her a double voice.
Voice is great. Dragon Ball Z, someone fuses, give them a double voice.
At some point, she needed a quadruple voice, though.
When they're all,
all three of them were inside her.
She should have spoken in barbershop quartet.
Or, of course, her hair should have stood on end.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because we did mention that. You were wondering why Tetsuo's hair starts sticking up at the end of the show.
It gets changed the length.
It's a measure of your psychic power.
Yes, it's psychic static.
Yeah. This comes into my theory about sideburns and mech pilots as well. The bigger the sideburns, the better the pilot.
And the more powerful the psychic, the more your hair stands on end. Until Professor X, your hair stands on end so much it detaches itself from your
body. Your hair just sort of disappears into a different plane of existence.
The astral. You think his hair's on the astral plane?
Yeah.
little pompadours. And what was Professor X's hair like when he had it?
I think he just had a comb over or something.
So have they ever shown drawings of it?
I'd like to think he had a pompadour.
Oh, I've read a lot of X-Men comics, and I can't remember seeing drawings of him with hair.
Isn't there a point where he gets stuck with Magneto somewhere? And it's like a younger version of himself where he can still walk. And I'm sure he has hair.
I
think he was bald then as well. Mm. I mean, we know what he looks like in Last Stand. First Class.
Yeah.
I know they've drawn him with hair. I know they have, but I just can't think when.
I don't think they have, you know. I'm Googling the hell
out
of this.
When they've drawn his younger days, I swear. He just had like a normal, just basically a side parting, brown side parting or something. I'm sure he did.
No, I'd imagine him having some sort of like Spock type haircut.
Completely straight fringe.
That's interesting. Now I've raised a question.
We have for a completely different podcast.
Yeah,
I bet he looked like a beetle.
I think he'll have dreadlocks. You know. Yeah, he's never had hair. Ever.
Never, ever, ever.
Never, ever, ever. I found a weird picture where he's dressed like Alucard from Helsing, though. I'm not even joking. That's going to get put in there.
The hair impairs his psychic abilities, maybe? That's why it went, because it was holding him back.
I seem to think that does get a mention.
Yeah.
It helps him concentrate.
Or it doesn't interfere with Cerebro.
So you think he shaves, right? So you think if he didn't shave his head, he'd have like a Doc Samson type mane.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously with a mullet like that, he couldn't use Cerebro properly.
You couldn't do anything properly with a mullet like that. Oh, God. Mind blown.
Mullet to make Wolverine jealous.
The other thing I wanted to mention, which I mentioned before, is I watched this on Blu-ray, which I actually watched it on Blu-ray, and I'd bought it and watched it, unlike the DVD, which I bought and never watched. And the colours are so good.
Oh, yeah, on Blu-ray it's beautiful.
They're so good. It's like, oh, I forgot. I don't think I ever noticed how great the colours were on any other version I'd watched.
It really, really hits you in the face on Blu-ray. I mean, you watch it on DVD, and yeah, you notice how stunning the animation is and how, you know, how much effort and time has gone into it. I think I mentioned on the previous podcast about how when I watch things like this with such, you know, high detail and things like that, where animation's concerned, and especially when it's done by hand, I just sit there and think, putting that much detail, drawing every individual brick on a building or something similar to that would drive you insane. I mean, I think I said before, because I like to sit and draw, and I know that I actually get bored with doing detail sometimes, but I plod on because I have to do it, because I think it doesn't look good if I don't put enough detail on. But then just, you know, imagine having to do cell after cell after cell where things change slightly, like drawing rain, for example.
When we established, they did it in one weekend.
Yeah.
What was it? I can't even remember. Was it a Crate Relentless? And...
Yeah, yeah. 12 Cans Relentless, two blokes.
Oh, man.
That's why the story goes off on one at the end. It's all the caffeine. The lack of sleep.
Yeah, but it's got lots of greens and reds, which they used to.
Yeah.
And it kind of makes me... It kind of made me annoyed that people watch this and the thing they took home from it was either the motorcycle chase or the transformation at the end. It's like, can you not take some of the other stuff away, like the colour design?
Is that what you're going to compare to Watchmen?
No. But I mean, actually, that is a good... it would be a good comparison as well, because that's got very good colour design too. But, it's like the thoughtfulness they put into the colour. It's like, people go, "Wee, cool motorcycle chase."
Yeah, but the part of the motorcycle chase is the colours, because it stands out so much. Yeah. The reds,
it is. But like I'm thinking of all the, just literally of like what the look of the town is in daylight. People never really take that away either.
At night, it strikes you more because of the lights and the way they've animated the lights, and you know, when you've got that scene where I think you're going through, like, is it like a marketplace or just down a street where they've got, like, food vendors at the sides of the streets and things like that, and it shows you all the neon signs and that kind of stuff. I mean, I love that kind of thing, which is, you know, as I think I mentioned again, this is something I mentioned previously, it's just like Ghost in the Shell Innocence, where they do the whole carnival parade thing. And I think that is, as you say, yes, people only take the bike chase, and maybe that's a bad thing, but I think the bike chase actually, you know, that's where you actually see a lot of this going on. A lot of the colours stand out in the bike chase with the neon lights and things.
When you said food vendor, I thought you said food bender, and I instantly thought of Avatar.
Food bender.
It's just a chef.
Some guy just levitates, his pupils just roll back, and then all of a sudden noodles start making figure eights in front of him.
That's all I thought of when you said food bender. I know you said food vendor.
Or going on a food bender. Like one of those scenes where they've got the guy stumbling from bar to bar, and it just shows you all the fades out of the neons. But with McDonald's signs and KFC. And
I'm sure we've all been there.
So the manga. Who had read it again?
I'd read the first volume.
Ah, yeah, that was it.
Because I was a poor child at the time and couldn't afford 25 bob per volume, which, looking back, it's, you know, I would quite happily pay that now, and I'd quite happily collect the get them all.
It's one of those things where I'm ashamed to say I looked at it and bought Spider-Man instead. Which I shouldn't have done. I really shouldn't have done.
Yeah, I mean, I'd had friends who were buying the epic colorized version, so I think I'd read some chapters of that, but I think it was, remembering it, is probably the later chapters.
So just stuff I'm completely oblivious to. I really don't know where it goes.
I definitely remember lots of devastated cityscape, which there isn't really in the film.
You get a couple of panning shots where it does like an aerial shot and you see the huge crater, and that's about it.
Yeah. And then once Dark Horse UK put out Manga Mania, and that was one of the strips in it, which ran for 30-odd issues, that was where I read it all from start to finish in that.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I need to pick up alongside Neil Gaiman's Sandman, because I've read that, all of that, but I don't actually own it. And you can get a box set now, that's pretty cool.
You can actually get it a lot cheaper now, Akira, apparently.
Yeah.
Which I'm kind of surprised at, because I didn't, you know, paying 25 quid around 10 years ago, probably. It's a bit bizarre, really.
Is it still the huge A4 size one?
Yeah, from what I can gather on Amazon, it is. And yeah, I mean, that's the ones I would get, definitely.
Good answer, isn't it? Let's put that
in. It looks great.
Yeah, the film sort of covers volume 1 and 2 of the comic, but with a different ending and elements which come out of later volumes.
It sort of brings the ending in a bit quicker. It goes volumes 1 and 2, skips a bit, and then...
Yeah, skip to the end and have a slightly different ending.
Yeah.
I prefer the ending in the comic, I have to say.
Don't spoil it.
I'm not going to.
Good.
But yeah, the big changes are you get Lady Miyako, who was the number 19 test subject, you briefly see in the film. That's the chanting person from the Akira cult.
Oh, so she was actually a test subject?
Yes.
He was a she.
And yes, he's got a male voice in the dub. So
yeah,
I don't know whether he had a male voice in the sub in the subtitle version either. I don't know whether that was just a character design maybe at the time they were making it.
I was convinced it was a bloke though, until
maybe it depends what kind of testing they were doing. You never know.
Then there's Chiyoko, who isn't in the film at all, and she's a super tough middle-aged woman who's part of the revolutionaries. I think she normally carries some ridiculous amount of ordnance with her. And George Yamada, who's this American soldier who's sent in to kill Tetsuo and Akira by the US government.
Is he a badass?
He is a bit of a badass, yes.
Oh, that's what I like to see.
Doesn't the leader of the clans end up helping the good guys out?
Yeah, basically, the characters who get a lot more to, in the comic. You got Nezu gets a lot more to do. Joker from the clowns gets a lot more to do, and so does Kai, the short ass from the capsule gang.
Yeah, the
captains of the capsule.
Is Kai the one that looks that wears the big trench coat and the tie?
He's the one in the tie. Yeah.
I like him. I like him.
He's cool. He dresses good.
The one who doesn't get killed by Tetsuo.
Not quite as good as Kaneda, but he dresses good.
I have to pick up the manga at some point. If I see it at a con, to be honest, I was going to say if I see it at a con for cheap, but it's about £12 on Amazon.
Yeah, you might as well on Amazon. You probably
the kind of thing where you'll get where you'll only find volume 3 in the bring and buy.
Yeah, I've got volume 1 at home.
Plus, you'd have to carry him home as well.
Yeah.
Oh God, yeah. You're weighty.
Nothing else. No room left in your suitcase.
I know.
Warwick's all right for me. It's only an hour and a half by car. So
yeah, hour and 10 minutes. Yeah, coming up, Aya.
Yeah,
Aya Khan. Not long.
If you're
I'm
there,
drive down on a bike.
Come along.
I'm coming on my red motorcycle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh shit! Sorry. Ah, bollocks! I went to save an image before, and I've just realised it's from the. It says me background. Bollocks. Totally off topic, but it's so annoying when that happens.
What have you done? Tried to save an image and you've set it as your background?
Yeah, I'm on my Mac and I... Oh, damn it.
What is it a picture of, Anthony?
Well, when I was searching for the Velvet baby, there's that actor and it's just got Feel the Velvet below it. I can't even remember the actor's name, but it's really amusing.
Now you've got a picture of that child as your background.
It's not even of the child. Now I can't get my old background back, and that's the worst.
Telly Savalas.
Hmm?
Is it Telly Savalas? Phil the Velvet Baby?
Yeah.
Has he got like a Harry Hill outfit on?
Yeah,
he wears a little suit and has a little coma. Yeah.
Phil de Villas.
Telly Savalas. Yeah. Telly Savalas. Open your ears.
I can't spell that.
T-E-L-L-Y.
Yeah. Oh, Savalas. Right, I've got him. Yeah, him. It was just him and his dad. Something velvet.
Feel the velvet, baby.
Yeah.
There are a lot of whiskies out there, straights, blends, Canadians, but none of them can give you the exceptional feel of Black Velvet Canadian Whiskey. A premium import at a very reasonable price. Try Black Velvet and taste the velvet difference.
There you go. And that is now my background, and it's getting changed right away.
I'm the velvet kid.
A bit of an insight there.
What else have I got from my old notes here? Oh yeah, I like how it's kind of cartoony, but there's also cartoons in the cartoon, and they're cartoony in a different way to how people in the real world behave. If you get my drift, do you get my drift, or am I being obtuse?
I'm not sure I'm following which.
Well, you see some cartoon dogs on a TV at one point,
right?
And they move and they're designed in a different way to how the characters in the rest of the world are, but the characters in the rest of the world are still move. Sometimes they move realistically, but when they have to for the story, they'll move in a cartoony.
Like Kaneda when he's pulling his daft face.
Yeah, or when he's scrambling to avoid being hit by things when Tetsuo's dropping things on the earth.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
I'm following.
And it also struck me as like, well, this is the best animated shonen battle show ever. I did find the have you ever heard of the comic Even a Monkey Can Draw Manga?
Nope.
It was it's out of print now. I think Viz put it out, the translator, or at least some of it out, and there's one bit of it which is about psychic manga.
I have seen this now.
And it's the Whatever Happened to Ninja Manga, and explains how ninja manga got split in the 70s into kung fu manga and psychic manga. And then it says if you're doing psychic manga, you need the rule of no boom, which is when somebody goes, no, and then screams, and that causes some psychic attack, which causes somebody's head to explode in a boom.
In this, it's more like Akira.
Yeah. That makes sense, though. They also didn't seem to do it, even a monkey can write Shakespeare.
Good get.
Interesting.
But yeah, if you can find that, if you ever see that cheap, get it, because it doesn't go cheap.
Yeah, I have to give that a look.
But yeah, this film's great.
It is.
We're not even giving it enough credit.
No.
We're really not. Everyone's already seen it, you know.
We've digressed, but yeah.
Everyone knows it's great. Yeah. So it's just listening to us chat about things around the topic of Akira.
I would like to hear some negative reviews just to see what people dislike.
Oh, let's see if I can find any.
Negative Akira review.
It's going to be people that just don't even try making an effort to...
I want to hear some big booming statements from Brian. This film's trollop! That kind of...
Here we go. I mean, it's on IMDb and it's popular, so that means there's loads of reviews. So here we go. So I'm going to find some clueless Akira Akira lovers. This is by Busted Flat in Baton Rouge from the United States. A timeless mess that anyone even slightly interested in science fiction or animation should watch before they die. Nonsensical sentences here. Those readers who have already passed on to the great Akira in the sky, oh well, you snooze, you lose. Akira is a highly flatulent piece of Japanese animation with more than a little putrefaction. There you go.
Was that a bad review?
Apparently so, yes.
Find an Amazon review. There's going to be some.
But he actually seems to quite like it. I don't know. It's very odd.
How many stars did he give it?
He gave it one star, but then in the end he goes, on top of that, it's also got great action scenes.
That's not a bad review.
On Amazon. I'm going to try and find an Amazon review for this.
So ugly, it's impossible to like, no matter how hard one tries. That's VKN from Amsterdam.
Oh.
Let's find some notable bits. He says, I've greatly enjoyed pondering over Evangelion, Jinro and many others, so why can't I be bothered to do the same for Akira? Simple. Akira is just so ugly.
Well, how can anyone say that? Seriously?
How can anyone not like it?
Here we go. Janice Livens from Latvia. Akira is the single worst film I shouldn't take Mickey because it's obviously not his first language. Akira is single worst film I ever sit through.
Oh my!
I'm going to stop Anthony taking the Mickey out of it.
Here we go.
That's being me. This just sounds really funny.
I've got a genuine bad one off Amazon. I've only recently started to watch anime, and since Akira was meant to be one of the classics, I decided to give it a go. This film is not to my taste, although the blurb made it sound interesting. Part of it could be that I couldn't relate in any way to the main characters. Well, yeah, unless you're a biker or a sidekick. Tetsuo and Kaneda, two members of a biker gang in Neo Tokyo, after much of the original city had been destroyed in a nuclear blast. They just weren't likeable. At least not for me. It was far too violent, gory and bloody for me, and every time a female character appeared, they were either insulted or worse. With one early scene in which a girl is having her blouse ripped off before being attacked by the baddies, it seemed to serve no purpose except to show nudity. As for the DVD itself, the picture quality and sound were very good, but the film didn't do anything for me and I couldn't finish it. I didn't like it and I won't be watching it again. And that was from Annette Gisby, and that's been written into Points of View.
Currently a huge brawny.
Yeah, got to be a lame anime garbage, grossly overrated... a stereotypical anime bloodbath. Great visuals, bad plot. Remember Battlefield Earth?
What? That had great visuals, did it? John Travolta with a set of dreadlocks.
Imagine a cartoon version of Battlefield Earth, minus the dorky angles, terrible acting, and blandness.
So great, then.
A severely ignorant review here. Not for me. Not really sure why they choose to make films using cartoon characters. Bit silly, and I wasn't impressed that I wasted hard-earned pounds on kids' cinema.
That's my favourite.
Don't know why they bother making films with cartoon characters.
I don't think it works like that. What's his username?
His username is Captain Scribe, and the review is called "Okay, Here's the Deal."
Okay, so what about the live-action adaptation?
Oh, hold on. I've just got a text from Lewis. Apparently, Scryde is better than Akira.
Didn't this happen last week?
It did. It did. Lewis, totally Lewis. Legit text.
He's always texting us that, whether we're recording Akira podcasts or not.
It's just Lewis
constantly remind us.
This is the man that said the Fratellis did something different.
That quote. Oh my god. Well, we need to get. We need to do a Scryde episode and get Lewis on. I've not seen it, but I don't think it's as.
Unfortunately, I've got volume one of the manga. Oh,
yeah. Oh. It's like a poor man's JoJo's.
Ah, oh, right.
So the live action adaptation. Do you think it'll ever happen? If it does, who do you want to see in it? Do you want it moved? Do you want it moved from Tokyo to New York, or would you like to see it? If you're going to have to move it, why not move it to other places?
We're going to move it. Why not move it to Newcastle?
Exactly.
Well, in all legit answer, if it's going to be like a US adaptation, which it's going to be, obviously, get it out of Japan. I don't want to see this kind of white guy in Japan, Tokyo drift.
But do you still want white guys called Tetsuo and Kaneda, which seems to be what they were going for?
There kind of has been an American adaptation, though, hasn't there? Chronicle.
Oh, yeah, we've mentioned
that. I mentioned that, yeah.
Yes. You'd have to keep on mentioning it. I think everyone's got this to the point that we have mentioned before.
Yeah.
To each other, these things.
Chronicle, yeah.
They could call Kaneda Canada and have, like, a
have Canadian subtext.
Yeah.
They'd have to give them really American names, like Jason and
Chad.
Yeah, Chad and Jason. Two members of a rogue American biker gang.
I'm sure there's some terrible Canadian pun you can make there about Tetsuo, about the Canadian extensions of O's.
What are you talking about? But seriously, I it's going to happen. You know it's going to happen.
Is it? I mean, it's not happened a lot of times.
But then again, you've got to consider like the amount of other films and other franchises that's happened to. I mean, how long did it take Watchmen to finally get?
That is true. That did stop and start a lot.
So, and that was because
they couldn't figure out how to do the ending of it, could they, Watchmen? That was their
I wish they continued stopping rather than.
Yeah, we've established. Now, to tell us your Akira comparison, anyway.
Oh, yeah. It was just the slight imagery thing which struck me was when they get to Akira, they discover he's just like biological samples kept underneath the Olympic Stadium in deep freeze, which is what the revolutionaries are trying to free, thinking that, well, I don't know what they think he's going to do, really. Cleanse Neo-Tokyo of all the corruption or something.
I can imagine that's going to happen when Bruce Forsyth finally dies.
He'll separate his body and his wig.
Yeah, keep him frozen beneath the Olympic Stadium in London.
But like the samples of it reminded me a bit of that sequence in Watchmen where you see Dr. Manhattan reforming his body piece by piece.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's got all this power and loses it slightly as well when he sods off to Mars.
Yeah, I tried to do some research about what might have been like the... Perhaps the, what am I trying to think of, the right phrase here to say, the common source of that sort of psychic story.
Yeah.
Ah, like they've run away and...
Yeah, I couldn't find any.
No.
I don't know enough about science fiction novels and literature to be like, oh, that reminded me of that. The only thing it reminded me of was a Philip K. Dick short story where a couple of hamsters get super evolved.
What, so they have the ability to, like, psychic abilities? Or...
Yes, they become beings of pure energy.
Oh, right, okay.
Basically,
not teenage ninja hamsters, then.
If I remember correctly, it's like these astronauts and their hamsters come into contact with something, but the hamsters come into contact with it first. And so they super evolve before the humans do, and so they become higher beings before the humans get anywhere close to it. It's an amusing short story.
I was going to say, do they still retain their hamster monikers?
But I assume even that must have been sort of almost parodying some sort of science fiction story.
Yeah.
So I think the thing we brought up before, we were talking about it because Dirty Bikers came up. Dirty Bikers? No, Hairy
Bikers. Hairy Bikers.
Dirty Bikers. Bikers.
Oh, that's because they're a couple of dirty bikers. And we were talking before about casting them, but then we decided Ant and Dec would be better because Ant's all Tetsuo's hairline.
Yeah. That's right.
For a Newcastle remake of
Dec.
Newcastle is about to explode.
Oh my god, my god. Oh, brilliant. But yeah, the film's going to happen. It'll happen. And the more I think about it, even in the space of 5 minutes, the worse I think it is. Whereas I was kind of on board when I'm always willing to give something a chance.
Who would direct it? Who do you think would have the best chance of getting it right?
Oh, God.
Wes Anderson's Akira.
Definitely not Michael Bay. Locking the way behind a perspective.
Well, that's gonna be the dude.
What, Michael Bay?
Spielberg. Spielberg. Spielberg would be the man.
Anyone but Michael Bay. He shouldn't be allowed to touch anything. He's got like the Midas touch, but it turns things into the contents of your toilet.
Joe Apatow. I think Spielberg. I would love to say Nolan, but
a Spielberg version, it'd be some sort of family element in it, though, wouldn't there?
Yeah, I guess.
It'd be like, you get a point where Tetsuo goes back to his mum and dad and has an argument with him.
The Colonel would adopt all the kids at the end of the film.
Yeah.
And all have a big hug.
David Lynch. Here we go. David Lynch is going to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, the best Akira film ever. It would be so ridiculous, it wouldn't even be like Akira anymore. I'm on
that
board.
That would probably be the best thing. I think.
I want Bill Murray to play the Colonel.
Who?
Bill Murray to play the Colonel.
I'm not sure he'd have the same imposing effect.
Or would be for the wrong reason, anyway. Oh, God. Let's hope it never happens, to be honest. I've established that in my own thoughts. Had enough of it.
Right, I think have we covered everything we covered before?
Probably not.
We've done less synopsizing than we did before, which is probably the best. Everyone knows what happens.
Or the knowledge of Akira is built into the genetic memory of every anime fan.
It's true. So that must mean it's time to play Biker Trove.
Biker Trove!
Now, here we go. We've played this game before, and I'm going to play it exactly the same as we played it when we first recorded it.
And I won!
You won 3-1. Now, remember, dear listener, that our two contestants have heard the answers to every single one of these questions. So in theory, it should be a draw, and then we'll get to the tiebreaker.
I'm really excited! I am really excited!
And as Greg is our guest, he gets to go first. So I'm going to name a biker gang and sort of a description of the type of material they came from and when that material first came out. So for question one, the biker gang is the Onibaku. And they appeared in a Japanese comic in 1990, and there was also a OAV of this comic.
Was it called Onibaku?
No. Anthony, you want to steal?
This isn't the one I thought it was. I forget.
It was Shonan Junai Gumi.
That's right. I would never remember that.
No, that's fine.
Okay, Anthony. Yes. 1997 Japanese manga. 1998.
GTO?
Yes, it is GTO.
Sorry, I just wanted to remember. I can prove I remember. What was the name of the gang?
It was Onibaku again. It was the same biker gang.
Yes. I remember I was going to say GTO last week.
GTO was a sequel to the previous thing.
Oh, really? Ah. Is Onizuka in the original series?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, that adds so much more
score. I've only read GTO. I've not read the other one.
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay, back to Greg. This is a 1982 US toy line, also had a cartoon and a comic book. And the biker gang are the Dreadnoks.
Go Joe! G.I. Joe.
Yes. G.I. Joe, a real American hero.
Or Action Force if you were from Europe.
Yes. Okay, back to you, Anthony.
Mm-hmm. Bring it.
This is a 1986 Japanese cartoon. And the biker gang are called Trash.
Oh, God. I forget.
Greg, although I think this is a movie as well.
Wicked City?
No, Megazone 23 Part 2.
It was one of the ones that got released on Manga.
Yes. Because it was a anime with a biker gang in it.
So then, yeah, that was my logic, wasn't it?
Ka-ching! Yeah.
Need more things like Akira. Okie dokie, this is back to Greg again. This is a 1981 US movie. Knight Riders.
Film. It's actually called Knight Riders, isn't
you
it?
Are correct, yes. Yeah. Taken the lead.
Damn it.
Anthony.
Yes.
This is a 1989 US cartoon. And the biker gang are called Hell's Satans.
The Simpsons.
It is The Simpsons.
Yes. Yeah.
Why is he getting all the ones that I remember?
Okay, Greg. 1999 US TV series, and the biker gang are called the Vipers.
Sopranos.
You are
damn
correct.
It! Rest in peace, James Gandolfini.
Yeah. R.I.P.
Poor guy. I got this last week, and I don't know how I got it either, because it's such an obscure...
The episode, I think, is named after them, though.
I can't remember named episodes, but
anyway.
I got it last week.
1985 US movie, and the biker gang are called Satan's Helpers.
Oh, this one. It's, I said something ridiculous. What is it, man? Damn it! It's not the Dennis Hopper film, is it? Is it?
I don't know. What's the name of this?
Easy Rider.
It's not Easy Rider, no.
Oh,
Greg. Fuck. Well, 1985, Anthony. That would have been
I know, I made that mistake last time, I think.
1985 US movie, Satan's Helpers.
I'm thinking. It's one of these things where they only have like a very minor part in the film, isn't it? I can't think. No.
Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh, yeah. I remember that name and...
Okie dokie, it's back to Greg. Crucifiers from a 1981 US movie.
US movie, so it's not what I thought it was. No, it's not the one that the bank might be anyway. Oh, no, sorry.
Okay, how about you, Anthony?
Was it Chips?
No, you're giving answers from the previous biker trove. Not this one. That one was the Cannonball Run. Okay, Anthony, back to you.
Yeah.
2008 US TV show. And the biker gang are called Sons of Anarchy.
It's from the Sons of Anarchy as well.
It is correct.
Yes.
Okay, back to you, Greg. 2007 US movie, Del Fuego's. 2007 US movie, Del Fuego's.
Biker Boys, although I sincerely believe that's before 2007.
I know exactly where it is, because I love the film.
He does.
Wild Hogs.
You are correct.
I'm getting
from Wild Hogs 2, though. Claimed on the previous record.
Yeah, and it did turn out to be one, didn't there? No, they didn't.
They didn't. They were going to, but they didn't.
That's right.
You get confused with Old Dogs.
Old Dogs, which is by the same guy.
Yes, it's the sort of sequel, but not.
Yeah, it's as close as you can get without it being Wild Dogs. Wild Hogs.
Okay, back to you, Anthony.
Yeah.
This is a 1979 US movie. Satan's Mothers.
Oh, was this... Easy Rider?
No.
Oh, damn it.
Greg.
Oh, it's a US movie, so it's still not the one I'm thinking of.
You're barreling for one, aren't you?
It's one that I'm barreling for. That got mentioned first. Satan's Mothers. No, sorry.
They are from the Warriors.
Oh, gosh, darn it. Yes, I remember. Oh.
Yeah, yeah. We both kicked ourselves last time.
Yeah, so. Great film as well. Great film.
Okay, Greg, this is a 2002 US TV show, and the biker gang are called The Horde.
The Horde.
They appear in one episode, I believe, of this TV show.
US TV show. CSI.
No. Anthony.
I can't remember. Supernatural?
No, it's The Shield.
That's right.
It's kind of like the, I think, like a prototype version for Sons of Anarchy.
That's I remember right. That being said as well.
Yeah, yes. That's annoying. It's me.
It's you. 2008 US video game, Heaven's Helpers.
I don't remember this question.
And these are so obscure. I've played this video game. I do not recall these people being in the game. But apparently they were.
What was the year, sorry?
2008.
It was something... that's a Shadow Man. I'm not going to answer that again. I pass. I can't remember.
Greg?
I'll just take a wild guess at 2008.
Yeah.
My mind's gone blank again.
Think of a game which might have a biker gang in it.
It's an awful lot. I'll take a wild guess at Army of Two.
No, Saints Row 2.
This is the instant you say it, obviously I'm going to realise straight away, but it feels like it was there.
Okay, Greg. This is a 1978 US movie, and the biker gang are the Black Widows. I will also accept the sequel, which they also appear in.
Black Widows.
Is the sequel the same name, or is it...
No, the sequel has a similar name to this film's name, but it is slightly different.
I'm going to have to pass. This is shocking.
I seem to remember saying something... What did I say? I said Death Wish, I think, last time.
Yeah, you did.
What was it called again? The
Black Widows.
The Black Widows. No, I'll pass, sorry.
It was Every Which Way But Loose. Or I would have allowed Any Which Way You Can, the 1980 sequel.
Not seen either.
It's the film with Clint Eastwood and an orangutan in it.
Oh, God.
As is the sequel.
Sounds delightful.
Okay, Anthony.
Yep.
Final question. So if you get this right, you've won. If you get it wrong, then Greg can bring it to a draw.
Well, damn.
1953 US movie. Black Rebels.
Is it Easy Rider?
No!
No! Greg's gonna get it!
You've shot every single side of the actual decade where Easy Rider actually came out.
I know where it is now. I know where it is.
Oh, I know it's where Black Rebel Motorcycle Club get their name from. Black Rebels. Has it got Steve McQueen in it?
Oh, I'm not giving you any clues.
Oh. No, I can't actually. No. I can't remember. No. No.
It is The Wild One, starring Marlon Brando.
That's right.
Yeah, so Anthony, you won again.
Yeah, it was destiny. What was the final score? Was it
4-3 this time?
I got
a bit more interesting. My film knowledge is shocking.
So they are very they are very obscure as
it's
well.
It's not so much your film knowledge which is shocking; it's your memory.
I know. Wow, that was certainly something.
Is it Easy Rider? Okay, right. Let's wrap this.
His guess was Easy Rider. Mine was Terminator.
Greg, you got anything to plug?
Just the usual, my Twitter, which is BATTOU at Batto. And then there's my Tumblr, which is Burnholt, BURNHOLT. And then there's something else that I've just recently started doing with another guy who's a guest on this show, Lewis. We build arcade machines, we 3D print things, and we're getting an Etsy store set up and things like that. So that's all go. And so watch this space. And we're called Techzilla UK, and that's Techzilla, TEKZILLA. And we're hoping to get a blog post up fairly soon about how we built the arcade machine.
Good.
I'll be on Tumblr under Techzilla.
I see it's registered.
Yeah. There's a Twitter account as well.
Oh, what's the Twitter? Is it Techzilla
UK? UK, yeah.
Oh, I'll have to follow if I'm not already following.
I think you're probably already following.
Look at you guys. Hitting the big leagues.
Trying to.
Yeah. I've just got... Twitter is normal, and ask you. And, that's it.
Okie doke. You can find me on Twitter at awesome_engine and also on the internet at awesome-engine.com. My Tumblr is dynamitingthebrain.tumblr.com. If you listen out on the Secret of the Sailor Moon, Secret of the Sailor Madness, Sailor Madness podcast, I'm still waiting for them to do a Sailor Moon episode. I shall be appearing on it shortly to talk about the Ed Grimley cartoon. I'm recording that tomorrow. Hopefully no one will delete that episode. And as always... Oh, I probably should start promoting Iacon as well. Mm. So if you go to Iacon, as far as I know, I'm running three events. I'm running Mad Stravaganza 7, which is the normal bite-sized chunks of crunchy video goodness that you'll be used to if you've been to any of the others. If you've never been to one, come along. It's a lot of fun, even if I do say so myself. I shall be also doing a History of Anime Penguins, which I'm looking forward to doing. It will be sort of as serious as you can be when you're talking about cartoon penguins. And I shall also be doing an Anison Armageddon with people such as these two people here.
Hey.
And various other people from this podcast who show
up. I'm doing three events as well.
Let people know what they are.
Oh, sorry, guys. Well, obviously, I'm doing the Anison one. That's the biggest one. I'm doing a stock. I know Brian's going to hate this because he hates all gaming things at anime cons, but there's a stock
gaming things at anime cons. I just wonder why House Stars fits into the
It's about as Japanese as
I'm looking at something My Little Ponies.
Well, exactly, but alas, nevertheless, it's basically we're having two people play each other. I think it's for an hour, and we're gonna talk to the audience, me and Richard Perrin. And it's going to be one of those custom maps where we can drop stuff on to the players as they play it that the audience wants. So they could say, I don't know, take away all his money. And we could take away all the money.
So it's like, I didn't realise you could do it. That's quite fun.
And what are you playing?
StarCraft.
Ah.
StarCraft 2. I'm presuming that is a feature on this custom thing, because that would be good if it is. But that kind of effect, like suddenly drop this, suddenly do that, blah, 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 and the audience will be participating.
Yeah, it's a bit like being a games master on a role-playing game.
Well, exactly. That's the best way to describe it, really.
And it'll be as Japanese as a dodge pickup.
It'll be as Japanese as the Akira live action will be. So very. And thirdly... also with Perrin, once again, he needed a partner for his Stage Clear show he's doing, which is a games podcast he used to do a few years back. And I drew the short straw, and I'm on it, and discussing games, and yeah, so busy, come to Iacon.
Anyway, as always, you can find this podcast on dynamitingthebrain.com, on facebook.com/dynamitingthebrain, and on iTunes. So why not subscribe and write us a review so that more people can find out about the tribute to the late, great episode 96. That is Dynamiting the Brain! Goodbye!
Goodbye!
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.